It's Shark Week on From His Heart. Are you on guard? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The devil has released sharks into the waters, and they are out to steal and kill and destroy. And we must beware, and we must be wise, and we must be on guard. They are pastors of churches. They are professors in seminaries. They teach Sunday school classes. They're deacons in churches. They're in positions of authority, yet they're sharks in the water, and they try and destroy the gospel. So you have to have your antenna up. Otherwise, you're going to get eaten up. And there's some things to look for.
There is truth. There is truth. There is love.
If you care about yourself, if you care about your loved ones, if you care about your church, if you care about your children, you're going to want to listen closely today, as God has much to say to us on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. He's in a study from the book of Jude, and we're learning about the sharks in the water of our churches, and how they devour churches one person at a time from the inside out. We're also learning how to become empowered to stand up and fight for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. You see, the book of Jude is a clear caution to believers everywhere and throughout every century. It forewarns that certain ungodly persons may be in your church with one main objective: to deny our only Master and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these imposters are aptly described by Pastor Jeff as sharks in the water. Open to the book of Jude, verses 11 through 15. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve now to warn about those deadly sharks in the water.
Now, here's our question. How can you and I recognize the sharks in the water? Well, I want you to see with me three telltale signs that you can recognize the devil's sharks in the waters of the church. First sign, the devil's sharks try to tear up the way of the Lord. Just like a shark would, just rip everything apart. He tries to tear up the straight way of the Lord. Paul said in Acts chapter 13, as he was preaching the gospel, there was a magician there. His name was Elymas, and he was opposing Paul and opposing his teaching. And Paul turned on him, and Paul said to him, "You son of the devil, you who desires to create havoc," he said, "you never cease to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord." That's exactly what the devil does. He uses people to do it, but he never ceases to tear up the way of the Lord, to make crooked the way of the Lord, to blow up the bridge that every person must cross, the bridge between sinful man and holy God. The devil is constantly working on that. So his sharks, his apostates, his emissaries, people that he uses and puts in places of influence and leadership in the church, how can you recognize them? Well, they try and do that too. They try and tear up the way of the Lord. Not only does he try to tear up the way of the Lord, the devil's sharks try to hide their true colors. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, "These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." Wow. He gives six vivid pictures of these guys. He says that they are hidden reefs. Hidden reefs. Hey, how important is it to know when you are manning a ship and captaining a ship, how important is it to know where the reefs are? Super important. And you know, a reef that's underneath the water is a hidden reef. You can't see it. You better be really careful that you know where it is, or that you're on guard for where a reef is as you're captaining a ship. Beware, be on guard. How can you tell? You know, when you're in the water, I was watching on YouTube an actual shark attack, not Jaws. This was an actual attack that somebody caught on camera. This guy was going surfing and he was in the water. It was probably up to his waist. And all of a sudden, as he goes out, you see him start punching at the water. And his wife's like, "What are you doing?" And then he begins to scream and then he makes his way back in. Well, a shark had bitten him on his side and he was bleeding and he was freaked out. He was in shock. And you know, you never saw it. I watched the whole video. You never once saw the shark. He's hidden underneath the water. I was listening and listening for it. No. I didn't hear any of that. It wasn't there, right? Because that's not how he comes. And if that's the way the devil came, then it would be easy. But the devil is sly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the devil is so slick and he's so sly and he comes like a hidden reef. You don't know he's there. Boom! And he gets you. So you have to have your antenna up. Otherwise, you're going to get eaten up. And there's some things to look for. Number one, be on the lookout for selfishness and greed. Selfishness and greed are going to be in the heart of the apostate. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. The New Living Translation translates that caring for themselves this way. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. It's all about me. It's all about selfishness. And remember, they're like Balaam, so they're in it for the money, so it's all about greed. They take advantage of people and flatter people for the sake of gaining a profit. It's all about me. It's all about greed. Watch that person that has the attitude, "It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I think." Watch that person who, when the rubber meets the road, doesn't give a rip about the kingdom of God or the church of Jesus Christ. It becomes all about me. They just as soon torch the place if it came down to a showdown between themselves or the church, because they want to get what they want. And it's typically all focused in on money. So be on the lookout for selfishness and greed. Shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. You know what? That's so bad. This is why it's so bad. Do you remember when Jesus talked to Peter after he rose from the dead in John chapter 21? You have the story of Jesus meeting with Peter and, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Do you remember what he said to Peter? He said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep." That's the job of a called man of God, to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep, to shepherd the sheep, to make sure when the people come to hear, they're hearing from God and they're getting fed. And shameless shepherds who care only for themselves, they don't feed the sheep, they don't care for the sheep, they don't shepherd the sheep. And when danger comes, what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? They hightail it. When the wolf comes, they get out of there. Why? Because they're not a true shepherd, they're a hireling. They don't care. They only care about themselves. And that's so true of the apostates, the sharks in the water. So be on the lookout for that, selfishness and greed. Secondly, be on the lookout for spiritual emptiness. Spiritual emptiness. He talks about that. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Hey, you know, in the first century and in the world in which these people lived, rain was hugely important. I mean, it is for us. And anybody that's a farmer will tell you, hey, rain is critical. If you don't have rain, you're dead meat. You can't grow things. And so when a cloud would come, the people would say, "Oh, there are clouds. Perhaps there's going to be rain." And these false teachers, they were clouds and they promised a lot, but there were clouds without water. There's no rain there. They were, Peter says, they're mists driven by a storm, but there's no substance there. They are trees, autumn trees that should have fruit, but they don't have any fruit. They're fruitless. They're doubly dead, uprooted. They're trees that have no fruit. And then you look at the tree and it's like, well, no wonder it's uprooted. It doesn't have any root. Now, Jesus said this. This is really interesting. Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Remember I told you the devil's smart. He doesn't come to you as a ravenous wolf. He comes to you as a sheep. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, we're not supposed to judge. Don't judge. Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. That's true. You're not the judge. I'm not the judge. God is the judge. But we are supposed to test. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Try the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Man, you got to be careful. You can't just look at every fish that has a fin and say, oh, that's just, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're not a shark. You're just a dolphin. Oh, why are you eating my child? You know, I mean, that kind of thing. Oh, maybe I was wrong. Hey, you better test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And how do you do that? How do you test the spirits? You'll know them by their fruits. A good tree produces good fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. That's how you know them. Look at their lives. You'll know them by their fruits. There are lots of people, they stand up to teach the word of God. Their lives are a disaster. There is divorce and there is turmoil all in their life, and their family is a mess. So what's the first requirement of being a pastor, or one of the top requirements? Look to see how that person conducts his family. Because if you can't control your family and conduct your family in a godly way, you're not fit to be leading in the church of God. That's what the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so you look at the fruit in this person's life. Is there fruit? Or is it just emptiness? Is there just nothing there? Spiritual emptiness. Hey, you know, it's a question for you and for me as we look at ourselves. What kind of fruit is in your life? Galatians chapter 5 gives such a contrast about the deeds of the flesh: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, disputes, dissensions, factions, jealousy, outbursts of anger, carousing, drunkenness, all those kinds of things. Does that characterize your life? Or the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What kind of fruit do you have in your life? You know, an easy way to tell, am I really in the faith? Just look to see what you're producing. Because a good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. We lie to ourselves so much of the time. And we have all these deeds of the flesh and all this fruit that's just rotten. And we say, well, you know, deep down, I'm a pretty good person. You're not. The reason that you have all this bad fruit in your life is because you've never been born again and you're rotting from the inside out, and all you can produce is rotten fruit. Listen, a Christian doesn't always produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, but she does some of the time. And if you never produce this, then it would stand to reason that you've never been saved and you have gone the way of Cain, and you're trying to take fruit that from somebody else's tree, good stuff, and stick it on your tree and say, hey, look at that. But you don't produce that stuff, and you know that you don't. Hey, the false teachers, they were spiritually empty. So look out for that, and look out for bitterness. Bitterness. These are grumblers, the scripture says in verse 16, finding fault, following after their own lust. They grumble. That's the root word gagusmos that I like so much. It means to murmur, to grumble. You're upset with God. And it says they find fault. They're complaining of their fate in life. They don't like where they are in life. Korah, who led the rebellion, was a Levite. He had a high position. The Levites took care of the temple of God in the tent. But he didn't like that. That wasn't big enough for him. He wanted to be the top dog. He wanted to be number one, just like Lucifer. It wasn't enough for him to lead the worship in heaven and have the worship go up through him to God. He wanted to be God. I will be, he said, like the Most High God. Hey, are you discontented where you are? Are you somebody that you're grumbling and griping and complaining about your lot in life and what has happened to you? Hey, that's exactly what the false teachers do. That's what the sharks do. They're bitter about life. They're bitter at God. And then be on the lookout, lastly, for sexual immorality. Peter, when he talks about the false teachers, he said, they have eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin. Eyes full of adultery. You know what that means? That means every person that they see an adulterous relationship. The potential of an adulterous relationship, having eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin. Jude says they are fault finders following after their own lusts. They always, almost without exception, have problems with sexual immorality. Remember, because they turn the grace of God into a license to sin. And with these people who were the incipient Gnostics, the heresy called Gnosticism, they said, hey, matter is evil. Only the spirit is good. So it doesn't matter what you do with your body. And you can sin all you want, and that doesn't matter. And so there was all sorts of sexual immorality that would be introduced with their teaching. And what is the person that hears that kind of teaching? A lost person that hears that kind of teaching, they like it. Why did God tell his Old Testament people, do not mingle with the people of the land, with the Canaanites, drive them out? Why? Because if you allow them to hang around with you, they're gonna pull you down. You're not gonna pull them up. And they were sexually immoral. And the way they worshiped is with temple prostitutes. And the Jews are like, wow. The Jewish men are like, wow, that's a neat way to do it. I kind of like that church. And it drew them like a magnet. And this kind of stuff draws people like a magnet, lost people, because it's like, hey, it doesn't matter. You can sin all you want to, and it doesn't matter because we're all under grace. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness. You study about Jim Jones, who had Jonestown. He was an apostate. Started out, he looked like a Christian. You read his life and his preaching and everything, sounded like he was a Christian. All of a sudden, he drifts away. He wasn't really one of us. He drifted away. He became a sexual deviant. David Koresh, sexual deviant. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon church, he created a religion that said you can have multiple wives, and he had about 30 of them. Two of them were 14. Sexually perverted. So they try and hide their true colors, but you and I need to be on the lookout. And lastly, the devil's sharks are destined for severe judgment. And about these, verse 14, also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Lord is gonna come. These sharks in the water, they're hidden reefs in your love feast, but they're not hidden to God, because all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God knows what you did last summer. He knows what you did 10 summers ago. He knows what you did every single day of your life. And God sees. And Peter said, their judgment, although it seems like they're getting away with sin, they're not. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. God sees, and God knows, and you mark it down, no one ever gets away with sin. You don't, I don't, they don't, Billy Graham doesn't, no one gets away with sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And when the Lord comes, and he is gonna come, he is going to execute judgment upon these. I believe this with all my heart. Hell's hottest flame exists for those who take the good news of the grace of Jesus Christ and turn it around for personal gain and pervert the way and try and blow up the bridge. They're like spiritual terrorists. God sees all that, and God will respond to that when the time is right. We forget that we're dealing with God. We forget that you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. We forget that God is holy. We forget that it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that the Lord is going to come back with his angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's going to happen one day. Be sure your sin will find you out. You say, man, this is scaring me to death. What do I do? Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 18, the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, get your life right with God. Hey, I'm talking to some folks, and you know what? You're a shark in the water. You just don't have a position, perhaps a spiritual authority, but maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Well, you're on the road to destruction. And if the Lord should come back today, you wouldn't be ready. You're just like these folks. You're on the road to perdition. Come now, the Lord says, and let us reason together. Come now, let me forgive you. Let me cleanse you. Come my way. Reject the way of Cain. Reject the way of Balaam. Reject the way of Korah. Come my way and humble yourself and receive me. Two questions as we close out today. Are you practicing discernment? Are you testing the spirits to see whether they are of God? Are you taking the messages that I preach and checking them out to make sure this is right? It's good to do that. I want you to do that. I love it when someone says, hey, Jeff, I checked you out. I checked out that Greek word you used. You were wrong. I don't really love that, but I like it when people check me out. Hey, that's a good thing to do. That's what they did to Paul. They received the word, Acts 17, 11. They received the word from Paul with great eagerness, and then they went home and examined the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. We're supposed to do that and be discerning and test the spirits to see whether these people really are from God. So are you practicing discernment? Are you walking in the light? That's the best way to know. You walk with God and you walk in the light, you can sense. You have spiritual ears to hear, no, no. You can sense that. It's like, there's something not right about this person or that person, the other person, because somehow I hear, no, no, spiritually. Hey, are you practicing discernment? And number two, are you sure you belong to him? Are you sure you're his? Everything else we preach, everything else we say, it means nothing if you miss out on that. Come now, Jesus said through his word, come now and let us reason together.
If you're not sure, absolutely sure that you belong to Christ, you can be today. Would you like to know exactly how? Do you have questions about what it means to become a Christian? I mean the real cost and the toll it takes, as well as the purpose and joy it brings. What does it demand and how will you need to change when you ask Christ to come into your life? We have all the answers to these and other questions for you when you go to fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus tab. Plus, you can hear messages from Pastor Jeff there that'll answer these important questions and help you turn to Christ and live your life for him in peace and in joy. Plus, you can download some free booklets about how to know you're going to heaven and others. We believe they'll be a blessing to you so you can face these sharks head on. Again, go to the Why Jesus link on our homepage at fromhisheart.org. Today's message was called Sharks in the Water. You heard part two today. The entire message is available on CD, DVD, or MP3 download from our website at fromhisheart.org. You can also listen again anytime or sign up to get the From His Heart Daily podcast delivered to your computer automatically when you go to fromhisheart.org. It's also part of Pastor Jeff's four-message series called Face Off, Fighting for the Faith. And it's available too online or when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. For your gift of any amount to From His Heart this month, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's timely seven-message series, The Truth in Love. It's available also in multiple formats. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org to make your gift and receive The Truth in Love. Well, we have exhausted our time for today, but please join us next time for the last lesson in Pastor Jeff's timely Face-Off series with an encouraging message entitled, What to Do Until He Comes. That's next time, right here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.